Well, all right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And we ask, God, that you would be very merciful to us, that you would open our eyes and open our ears. Lord, you said in the word, you said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And I pray, God, that you would just, Lord, be with us this morning and give us direction. Give us, Lord, the instruction of your word, and we will thank you, God, for everything that you do. Watch over those, God. We have some that are traveling this morning. We pray, God, that you'd be with them and that you would watch over them and help them as they're out of town, and Lord, give them a time of rest, even though they're going for business sake. I pray, God, you'd give them rest, and Lord, give them a good time while they're traveling. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his work of old. Now we're going to start with verse 22 today. But I'd just like to go back and point out a few things that we read just now. The fear of the Lord is, so I'm just going to stop right there and say definable. The fear of the Lord is definable. You can say that you fear, but the fear of the Lord is really definable. It has a definition to it. Lots of people preach about and talk about and witness about the fear of the Lord. And a lot of people, quite frankly, deny the fear of the Lord. You'll find when people are preaching or writing books or whatever they're doing now, most of the time when they come to the word fear, they change it to reverence. And I don't know what they use to justify that. I don't know if they're using the Greek. It's a possibility that they're using a little bit of all of it. The dictionary, the Greek, whatever, the philosophy. A lot of religions just flat out philosophy. Guys stand up and just talking about what they think about this and what they think about that. Hey, lay some scripture on it. Amen. Amen. How about a chapter and a verse? And I notice more and more that guys just talk and talk and talk and talk and don't ever give you no scripture. Well, that's philosophy. That's just what you think. And I find a whole lot of times that when a person's doing that, it's because there ain't no scripture for what they they're saying. They're just that they've got a made up religion, philosophy. The idea about predestination and the sovereignty of God, and we talked about that a little bit last week. We know that God is almighty. We know that, but if God was sovereign, God could be sovereign anytime he wanted to. I think that's the definition of almighty. But the fact of the matter is God created you and I to be in fellowship with him. And if he enforced his sovereignty, we'd all be dead. Wouldn't we? If God had his way, if God forced his way to be manifest, right now we'd all be dead because there's none of us that can stand in his presence. So if you want to force the issue about God being sovereign, God is merciful. Mercy and sovereignty don't stand in the same spot. So a sovereign God that's merciful is almighty. He is big enough to squash anything, but he is also big enough and powerful enough to have grace on those who are not bowing down to his sovereignty. And so what you get is no verses to prove what you're talking about, and so you just talk and talk and talk and talk. And it's there's in the particular case of the sovereignty of God and The whole doctrines, they also call it the doctrines of grace. God has His will in everything, but He's graceful. If He has His will in everything, what does He need grace to have grace for? See, so what you're talking about is questions with no answers, but they seem to have answers for it, and they talk and talk and talk, no chapters. Well, if God has His will in everything, who does he ordain sin? And the answer to that is usually a 15-minute discussion about nothing. And so what I'm talking about is religion that has no definitions. There's politics that has no definitions. It just becomes philosophy after a while. And a Christian stand up and say, hey, we don't have to fear the Lord. The New Testament says God not given us again has not given us the spirit again to fear. And so they take the fear of the Lord, they apply that to the fear of the Lord and say, we just reverence Him now. Well, there's no scripture for that. There's no scripture for that. Now, the Lord's name, one of the names for the Lord is reverend. You should reverence Him. But I got news for you. You find that application for reverence in the same place that you find the reference for fear in the Old Testament. So those things, you're supposed to fear Him, but you're supposed to reverence Him. I've got news for you. I fear a rattlesnake. But that rattlesnake is not reverend. I'll cut his head off in a heartbeat if I don't have nothing to shoot him with. Fear and reverence is not the same thing. It can be in the same ballpark. You can have the same ideas in the same moment, but it's a different thing. When you stand up saying the fear of the Lord should really just be reverence. What you're doing is you're blatantly contradicting the scripture, and I believe that's demonic. I believe that's demonic. I really do. And so when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, it's definable. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you understand that? It's to hate evil. And you say, well, we're all evil. That's exactly right. You say, well, we're talking about fear and loathing. You're talking about loathing yourself. You're talking about a lack of self-esteem. Bingo, you're on to something there. You are on to something there. I am flat out against self-esteem. If you've got self-esteem, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You say, what should we have? Christ esteem. You should have Christ esteem. John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. The man who was blessed is the one that said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Not the one that said, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Well, the Pharisee that was praying the prayer, I tithe and I do this twice a week and I do that three times a week, that guy had plenty of self-esteem. I've accomplished some things in my life. And I also noticed that about, you know, different religions when they get up to preach. I was in Oxford in 1932 and I was the head of the Society for Holiness and I have respect for some things that some people, I don't believe you, I believe you can find truth in a lot of different places and not, don't take that to the extreme New Age thing. I believe that a lot of people have to have some truth in order to give you a lie. A lot of things people says are good and right, but if you'll listen, you'll see what's going on behind the scenes because it's all about me or I or my accomplishments. And man, I feel like I hadn't accomplished nothing. So, well, Brother Mike, I think I'm not really asking you to tell me what I've accomplished. When I get to heaven, God will tell me what I've accomplished. And if I study my Bible will tell me what I've accomplished and what I hadn't. And usually what I find is that my accomplishments are laid alongside of the failures of the flesh in such a way that I must keep trusting in Him. And if I'm truly an intellectual, like most pastors want to be, or most religious leaders want to be, if I'm truly an intellectual, I'll be smart enough to notice that the flesh is still active as much as it can be, and it is a hindrance. My flesh and my qualities that most people like to put on demonstration before folks, those are hindrances. My flesh is a hindrance. And a man that's intelligent will read the scripture and he'll see that. It'll be blaring. You know, I don't know if you know the definition of blaring or not, but it's when you pull up beside a car that's worth $15 and the sound system's worth $3,000 and every glass is wrapped. That's what blaring means. When you read the scripture, these truths are blaring. Man is nothing without Jesus Christ. And the problem with most religion is religion trying to make something out of man. And the only person that can make anything out of man is Jesus Christ. Amen. So the crucifixion of the flesh, the putting away of the flesh, the downplaying of the flesh, the downplaying of self-esteem and all that stuff. I'm not telling you to walk around and I'm not telling you to walk around with a gun to your head. What I'm telling you is that to have a reasonable amount of understanding that on the one hand, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood, I'm God's son, I'm all these things, which is far better than when I was born. But at the same time, you have to have the recollection, the remembrance, and the understanding that the flesh is still faulty and the flesh is still trying to pull you back to the place you was before you got saved. It is redeemed. The flesh is redeemed, but that hasn't taken place yet. It's done. The deal is done. It is going to happen. The Christian is predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, but it hadn't happened yet. Now, that's the big confusion where Calvinism is concerned. The Bible says we're predestinated. So some people take that to mean we're predestinated to be saved, but it says that nowhere in the Scripture. What it does say is that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. I don't know why nobody brings that up, but every time somebody talks about predestination now, I've got one question. Are you conformed to the image of God's Son right now? And if you're honest, you have to say no, because you wake up with bad breath and you stink when you work outside and you cuss when somebody cuts you off in the highways and you think bad thoughts and you lust after the opposite sex and all that's you. You're not conformed to the image of God's Son. And the major commandment for a Christian is be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the transformation that's going to take place in this life is in your mind. So that what takes place on this earth is that there's something inside of you that directs and overpowers and gets the victory over the thing that destroys everybody else on this earth, sinful flesh. That's victory. Well, I just don't know if I've got any victories because wait a minute. You're looking at all this outward stuff out here. What's going on in your heart and mind? I just feel so bad because I'm such a sinner. Okay, that's the way you're supposed to feel. Thank God for that. The sinner out there on the street, he loves what he did last night. He's going to try to get some more today. He's going to try to get into it again today. That struggle, the struggle you're having is not in a lost man. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. That comes from something on the inside that you didn't have when you was born. When you was born, you didn't like thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. You didn't like that. And your flesh don't like it still today. Some people, you'd like to wring their neck today, wouldn't you? I know there's a lot of people on this earth, the earth be better off without them. And every time I get to thinking about, now, Lord, if that fellow was just gone, we'd get rid of a lot of problems. And the Lord said, And your flesh would be better off without you. I mean, the Lord talking to me. Amen? Well, I've thought several times. Listen, we've got a guy right here in this community, and people come to me after somebody dies, they take advantage of them. And when find a young man in harm's, or not in harm's, well, it is harm's way, but find a young man in desperate situation, he'll take them in and use them and abuse them. And I think, now, Lord, I'd just go over there and kill that fella. And them boys ain't got nothing to worry about no more. The Lord must not want me to call His name. I don't know why He wouldn't want me, but His name just slipped right off the end of my tongue. But it'll come to me in 15 minutes, and I'll tell you who it is. But that fella, I feel like the world would be a better place without him being alive. Bo Todd, that's exactly right. That's exactly who I'm talking about. And the world would be a better place without that fella. But then when I get to thinking that way, the Lord says, the world would be a better place without you. Get down behind something hiding and say, yes, Lord. And say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for still letting me be alive, Lord. You say, what is that? That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. It don't, listen, here's the way you know you got the fear of the Lord. It doesn't just apply to you. That hate evil part, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It doesn't just apply to the other guy. That guy's so evil. It applies to you too. You know, that some of the biggest bozos in the church are on the internet. Steven Anderson. And they don't all teach lies. Some of them get on there and they get commentary stuff and they just put it out there just like it's theirs. I thought of all this. No, you got 17 Dr. Ruckman commentaries behind you, and every time you open your mouth, it's something that Dr. Ruckman said. Just shut up. Yes, sir. Robert Breaker. These guys are just, I mean, but see what you got is you got all this stuff, and you want to say, you want to just wring their neck or holler and scream and get bent out of shape, and you hate stuff like that, but at the same time, you never think about your own consistencies. That's not correct. That's not right. The Bible says, consider thyself. When you get into a place where you're always considering somebody else, that guy right there, that guy, and you're not considering yourself, that should be a thermometer that takes the temperature that says you're not doing something right. And if we could get kids, if we could get young people to get into that mindset of getting their own eyes cleaned out before they start cleaning somebody else out, we'd have a generation of Christians to grow up that'd be worth something. Because it seems like the last generation grew up with this attitude of just everybody else is bad, everybody else is wrong. That's just not right. We're all wrong. And we're either sinners or we're sinners saved by grace. And we got to keep that outlook, because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's one statement. A lot of times you read the statement like the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy. But that's not what it says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, colon, pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what wisdom hates pride, wisdom hates arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, the mouth that comes from the man, the mouth that utters things that says he won't conform. Frowardness is nonconformity. I will not conform. I will not be led. I will not do what... And Baptist preachers say it all the time. I ain't following no man. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You need somebody to follow. And if you're so bold as to make a statement, I ain't following no man, you need it more than some teenagers that I know. You need direction. Well, pride, the context of the chapter, of these two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, is wisdom. And wisdom says, I hate a froward mouth. And so he says the opposite of that, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Wisdom has counsel. Some people don't seem like they have a solid path to travel because they don't have any counsel. They're not applying themselves through wisdom. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. There is a wisdom to do evil. The Bible says that the children of Israel were wise to do evil. But there is sound wisdom. He says, I am understanding and I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. Some princes can decree injustice, but that goes back to Romans chapter 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. He is a usurper of authority. There's no question about that. He has his hand in high places. There's no question about that. The devil has men in places that are high up in authority. There's no question about that. But let me give you some biblical revelation today. The devil is a liar. Amen. He's the father of it. He's a liar, and he's the father of it. When he come to Jesus and said, "I'll give you all these kingdoms," the Lord didn't bat an eye at that. You say, why? Because the truth of that matter is the powers that be are ordained of God. How do you recognize those powers? Romans chapter 13. You recognize them by the fact that they praise the good and they prosecute or persecute the evil. If there's a government in existence today and they do not persecute evil and they do not praise the good, that is not a God-ordained government. And I'm telling you this, the reason that America will slip and the reason that America will decline is the fact that she praises evil. Amen? Just as soon as any government gets in league with or in support of homosexuality, they're going to slip. They're going to slip. I don't know in my mind, I don't know what's going on with our current president. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I'm telling you this. You can have all the economic gains, you can have all kinds of stuff like that, but until a nation gets right and gets out of league, I'm talking about a government, gets out of league with evildoers, it's not going to be blessed by God. Now, in our country, we have a unique situation. We the people. Now, I don't know how much you put your trust in that or any weight in that, but there are people in this country that still fear God and still follow God. But I'm telling you this. When he's talking about by me kings reign and princes decree justice, you can see what is wise and what is God ordained by what they stand up for and what they. A tree's known by its fruit, right? A book's not known by its cover. It's known by what's on the pages of the book. And so when you begin to look at things, you can see what God has blessed and what God has ordained or what God is behind. You can see these things. You don't have to just sit back and say, well, these guys over, and I don't know anything about the geography or the political makeup of most of Africa, but if you've got some dark government in Somalia or someplace like that, you can rest assured that God did not ordain those people to be where they are. And they were usurpers of authority, placed in a situation of darkness by a place where the devil was able to get a foothold. And I'm telling you what, once the devil gets in your hearts and once the devil gets in your neighbor's hearts and steals the truth and robs the truth and destroys the fruit of truth in your life, America will go dark and then there will be representatives of that in all levels of government, and you're a usurper. An evil man runs for office, gets into office. Not because God wills that this evil man, it's the fact that usurped authority, just like the devil tried to do that. There's a following leader. So, well, we just need to submit ourselves to it. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. So, well, Brother Mike, it's really like you spoke Nebuchadnezzar, God ordained him. Listen, the powers that be are ordained by God. We believe that? Okay, the Constitution of this nation says we the people of the United States of America. That's all the representatives in our government signed that and said that was the law of the land. Now you take that away, okay, then you've got something to argue about. But in this situation, we're talking about, like, don't submit to evil and wicked and adulterous and sinful rules and regulations. Just don't submit to it. Amen? Because by me, the wise thing, the wisdom aspect of it is, by me, kings reign. When people are doing stuff that doesn't make any sense, wisdom, there's no part of it. And guess what happens when you do unwise things? You get unprofitable consequences. That's been the subject since chapter 1. Cause and effect. Actions and consequences. You don't have to go down with the ship. You can jump overboard. You can get in a lifeboat. I've always heard this stuff about maritime stuff about the captain going down with the ship. I'm all for somebody in authority making sure everybody gets off, but I'm not going down with the ship. I'm getting off. Hey, man, there's no ship worth drowning over. I'm going to get off. If the Lord allows me to get off, I mean, the Lord may not give me a choice, but if the Lord allows me to get off, I'm going to get off. Amen. Well, I could probably move on from there. But at any rate, I just don't think you should submit to stuff. You say, well, what happens? Well, if you're going to judge by history, you get burned at the stake. Amen? Don't translate. The government says, don't translate the Word of God into English. No, sir. We're going to translate the Word of God into English. They were burned at the stake for it. The government said, don't be worshiping this Christianity. We are, and I'm just paraphrasing, of course, but we're a pagan nation. We don't do that here. We don't like Christianity here. We hate Christians here. Don't serve Christ in our country. They did it anyway. They got put in the Colosseums for it. Turned loose. You say, what did they do? They were not submitting. You know, people use Romans 13, and back after Hurricane Katrina, the FEMA tried to get with all these pastors about trying to get all the sheep into one fold in the case of an emergency and submit to martial law if they had to apply martial law like they did in Louisiana. And all these preachers are like, yes, Romans 13 surely does say that we should do that. No, it doesn't. Simon Peter stood flat-footed and bold in the book of Acts and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. Amen. I'll rest my case right there. Verse 17, I love them that love me. Ain't that selfish? Ain't that selfish? No, it's not selfish. It's wise. It's wise. You know, the only person that could get away with loving those that didn't love him is Jesus Christ, because you can't degrade him, you can't pull him out, you can't do anything against him. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. You know what you'd be wise to do? You'd be wise to quit fooling with people that keep taking advantage of you and keep pulling you down and keep breaking you. Now, love them, pray for them, but I'm talking about in the sense of that you keep on putting yourself in the situation to be tricked and cheated, and when you don't do what they say, they lie on you. Just stop it, man. Say, well, we're supposed to love. Yeah, love them from your prayer closet. Amen. Love them by telling them the truth when they come around. Instead, we're so permissive. They come into our houses. They smell like liquor. They cuss in front of our kids. That's not love. That's enabling. When they come in, preach to them. Don't sit there and go, yes, I know. Wisdom loves those that... The context here is wisdom giving you something, wisdom instructing you, wisdom making you wiser, wisdom making you stronger. And wisdom said, in that sense, I love them that love me. Well, wisdom, when you come into the presence of wisdom and you love what it's about, you love the atmosphere, you love the results of wisdom, then you listen and you receive from wisdom, and you are guided by wisdom, and you get help from wisdom. That's what it's talking about. Wisdom sits down and has a conversation with that person that loves her. Somebody comes in and sits down in front of wisdom and says, well, I don't see why you're always choosing the thrifty or the... Wisdom goes, just get out of my house if you're going to talk that way. So wisdom has a house. According to chapter 9, it does. Amen. Wisdom has servants and maids. Amen. Get out of my house if you're going to talk that way. You say, I just don't know if that's loving. It's wise. What are you talking about loving? It's wise. Amen. Take that for what it's worth. I need to move on. I'm not going to get through two chapters today, am I? Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. You know why I'm not rich? I'm not wise. Now, Brother Mike, you're... No. Shut up. You say, well, I'm wise and I'm not rich. No. You might have a measure of wisdom, but you're no sage. The wisest man on the planet who's ever been on this planet, well, I will say with the exception of Jesus Christ, because I think you would agree with me that Jesus Christ was wiser than Solomon. But he's not an ordinary man. He was God and man. But as far as men go, Solomon was the wisest man that ever was. Of course, you got to ask yourself some questions about a man that would marry 900 women. Amen. But all that being aside, there's folly and foolishness in the best of us. But you know what he was? You know what he also was? He was one of the richest men that has ever lived, if not the richest man that's ever lived. Well, I know this man now in Dubai. He's got $20 trillion. He's got 20 trillion pieces of green paper that's worth nothing. Amen. When you've got houses and porches that are covered in gold, then you got something. Amen. We'll talk about that. Well, you know, wisdom in its ultimate form is, you just make the right decision and it'll be a profitable decision. I got plenty of good ideas, but that's not wisdom. Wisdom is having an idea and putting it into practice and seeing it through. Wisdom is having an idea and seeing it through. Wisdom is having a good idea and seeing it through. We have ideas, we don't see it through. You say, what is that? That's unwise. We have ideas and we think, boy, if I could just do this, I could make an extra couple of hundred a week. And it was a good idea 10 years ago when you had it. And it was a good idea 9 years ago when you had it. And it was a good idea 8 years ago when you had it. And you ain't done it yet. Why? You're just not wise enough to do it. Well, I think I'll go in debt $900,000 and then I'll make $100,000 a year for the next five. So that's not wise. Amen?
Well,
I'm not getting as much traction here as Creflo Dollar gets when he talks about finances, so I'll move on. Verse number 20, I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. So, I mean, take that any other way you want to, but that's what it says. Well, just in the Old Testament, believers could get wealthy, and in the New Testament, God just wants us to suffer and have hardship, and I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe if a Gentile has wisdom, it'll have the same result as when a Jew has wisdom. Until you show me a verse. Now, in the sense of the gospel, when you're preaching the gospel, people are going to hate that. People are going to persecute that. People are going to be against that. But wisdom loves those that love her, and she leads in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause them that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. What's with all the poor people? No wisdom. No wisdom. Well, you could factor in oppression. Maybe you're oppressed by the government or something. It's possible. It is possible. But you'll just have to sort that out yourself. Amen. Pray about the verse and see what the Lord tells you. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. Now, here's an interesting case about that. He said he would lead you in the paths of righteousness. She would lead you in the paths of righteousness. She would lead you in the way of judgment. She would cause you to inherit substance. And then he begins to tell you about the formation of the earth, the creation, all this stuff was done in wisdom. And guess what happened? Something messed it up. Right? Something is going to mess things up. So you can have your best laid plans. Can you lay plans better than Jesus can? No. So you can have your best laid plans. Jesus made plans or best laid plans. And you can make your best plans. You can set everything up, line it up according to wisdom. Something can go wrong. But what we usually do is when something goes wrong, we throw up our hands and quit. You say, well, God used wisdom and that things went wrong. So what's your answer to that? It ain't over yet. He when he made his plans, he factored in the failure equation. If this happens, then this is going to happen. If this fella eats off the tree, I'm going to have to do something different. I'm going to cut this board 12 inches. What happens if I cut it 11? What happens if I cut it 11 inches? Well, you need to have a plan for failure, don't you? Like an extra 2x4 or something. Well, you're supposed to be wise about things. You're supposed to be wise about things. Measure twice instead of once. But what he says here is, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from beginning, or ever the earth was. So he's talking to you about a wise plan that was laid out in the beginning. And if you go by this plan every time, that or the semblance of this plan every time you do something, hey, plan it out. The Bible says a man don't go and build a tower unless he sit down and count the cost to see if he's got what it's going to take to build it. Or else he might start building and get halfway up, and 10 years later he's still got half of a building. Okay, so make your plans that way. Make your plans that way. He said, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. You plan when you ain't got nothing. I don't have nothing, so I guess I'll never be nothing, and I'll never get nothing done. Plan when you got nothing. What some Christians need is just some flat-out ambition. See, some people have the ambition and no follow-through. Some people have no ambition, so there's no use in following through on. They're not going to follow through on, I'm just a nothing, and God loves us nothings. And well, God loves you, but wisdom don't care nothing for you. Is that true or isn't it true? I mean, application and hard work, you're not going to get away from it. You know what? You know what it is? Hard work was part of this plan right here that he's talking about. If they eat off of that tree, they're going to have to work real hard to get past that. So when Adam shows up in his face, he says, now look here, son. I set this thing up pretty good and you broke it. So what you're going to have to do now is you're going to have to work hard enough to sweat. And as long as you've got little sweat drops dropping in the dirt, you're going to live. We want it easy, but wisdom says it don't come easy, according to this plan. He says, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were... God had a wise plan when he had nothing to work with. He said, do you believe that God made something out of nothing? Looks like it's what it says right there. Amen? You'd be surprised, you could make some stuff out of nothing too. And all labors, there's profit. I still believe that. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Verse right there always gives me a big question mark. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. and my delights were with the sons of men, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. It's a place where you can survive and a place where you can't. I believe wisdom stays in the habitable parts of the earth, a place where you can live, a place where you can breathe, and a place where you can move. I believe some places ain't got any, you don't got no business being there. It'd be hard pressed to get me two places in this earth. It'd be real hard to get me in an airplane. You definitely couldn't get me in a spaceship. And because those places go to places where you can't naturally live. And you definitely couldn't get me in a submarine. No. I don't even like holding my breath and getting under the water. I don't like that. I don't like you say why. Because what wisdom dwells in the habitable parts of the earth. You do what you want to do. The end of a bungee cord? No, sir. Not going to do stuff like that. You say why? I like to live. Well, Brother Mike, the chances of you dying are very small. Well, I mean, I could get hit by a bus. I could have a heart attack, all those things. But I'm not going to, find something that says heart attack on it and attach it to myself and, walk around with it all day. I'm not hooking myself up to something and jumping off of a cliff and letting it stretch out and see if it holds. I'm not a crash test dummy. Wisdom says stay in a safe place. Okay, I can still breathe. I can breathe right here. I'm in up to my chest in this swimming hole. I'm good to go. Amen. I don't need to get. Let's get out the parts over our head. Why? You can swim in 4 feet of water. Amen. First time I come to this place and got out there to the baptismal hole, I looked around. There's gators in the water. There's a gator right over there. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I'm not thinking that baptism's quite worth it. Then I had to change my mind and say that it was worth it and get in there. And the thing was, the very first time we baptized in the St. Mary River, the first time I did that, most people use a baptistry because they don't got sense. But anyway, we got out there and we're getting ready to have a baptism, and this gator comes down and sits there. We get out there and baptize all these people, and it's like the fastest baptism ever. These people, and we get up out of the water, and I'm looking over there, and the gator leaves like the Lord sent him down there to watch or something. Here's some bad people. People have been saved. They're going to get baptized. The gator comes down, watches, and then leaves. Thinking to myself, wow, that's just crazy. I'm going to try not to do that very often. And it's wise. It's wise to look around and make sure you're in a safe place. Amen? I've only got 5 minutes left. Oh, let's see. Let me read here. Verse number 28. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree. I think I've already read that. Verse 30. I've read that one too. Verse 31, read that one too. Verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed, happy. That's the way you're happy, to keep the ways of wisdom. Blessed are they that keep my ways. A big part of the depression thing and the grief thing is not doing right, just not doing the right things. You can do right and still have the effects of this flesh. Imagine what it is if you're not following the instruction of wisdom. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. In the Bible, gates is a place of judgment. Waiting at the posts of my doors, for whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. If you'll commit yourself to learning wisdom, you're not going to be the wisest man probably on the earth, but if you'll commit yourself to get a little wiser each week or each day, and maybe each month or each year might be a better aim, but if you'll set yourself to do it, you'll obtain favor of the Lord. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Do we understand that? God is not looking at you for who you are. But if you'll try to be like Him, you'll obtain favor of the Lord. And while somebody says God's no respecter of persons, He don't care about you no more than somebody else, that's not true. The person who's trying to be wise and trying to improve his state Your standing is one thing, your state is another thing. You try to improve your state of being, your condition. The Lord favors that. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And they that hate me, they that hate wisdom, those that hate doing things a prescribed way, love death. Rebels. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. You'll find that people have a fascination for death. They really do. And I don't mean just like symbolically. They hate wisdom, so they love death. I mean, they love stuff like the Walking Dead and all this stuff that represents death. They'd rather have SS Stormtrooper poster from 1942 on their wall than an American flag or something like that. I mean, they like that gruesome, dark side of things, and that's not wise. That shows a lack of wisdom. Amen. Those that hate me love death. That's wisdom talking. And so we'll get into chapter 9. Is a lot of the same stuff. And I thought I would go through it faster than I did, but what do I know? Just goes to show I can't tell the future. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to teach the Sunday school class. I pray that it was a blessing. Again, we pray for those that are out and traveling. You watch over them. Bless the morning service, and we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break.